Welcome back to the Book of Genesis. Today, the great quest, the grand search, the thrilling pursuit. Abraham sends his servant to find a bride for his son Isaac. Now there is a task, finding the right person to marry. For some, a joyous and singular event. For many, a deep frustration and arduous journey. There's a reason that this one task is the central storyline of about 10 zillion books and reality shows and scary movies. I mean, romantic comedies. Well, sometimes all of the above. Our story in Genesis 24 is one of the oldest such stories, and as we shall see, God uses it to illustrate one of the most important elements in his plan for the universe, in his plan for mankind. The symbolism here is amazing. But it's a story first, so let's start in at verse 1. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh." Now, don't misread this part. It's a little awkward in our culture, but in Abraham's, it was simply a way for his servant to make a serious and solemn oath. Abraham is sending him to choose a wife for his son. No small matter. This is personal. This is big. This is an arranged marriage. Well, that was the culture. Actually, that was part of most cultures and most of history. But even for parents who don't arrange the matter, if you love your kids, who they marry is a very big deal. So Abraham gets a solemn oath. His Canaanite neighbors are bad news. So Abraham says, "Choose a wife from my relatives, like a cousin." Again, common practice for most of history. So the servant asks, "What if the bride is unwilling to come back? Should I take your son out there?" No, Abraham insists Isaac stays here. The Lord promised this land to my offspring, and the Lord will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. Verse 8, "If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine." So the servant swears an oath, loads up 10 camels with all kinds of goods, and sets out for Aram Naharaim and the town of Nahor. Nahor is Abraham's brother, son of Terah. But it's been a while. The servant arrives just outside of town, and after the long journey, he has the camels kneel down near a well, no doubt thirsty after the journey. It's evening, the time when women come to the well for water, and the servant stops to pray. Verse 12, "Lord, God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham." In his prayer, the servant asks God for a sign. "When I ask a young woman for a drink of water, if she also offers to water the camels, let her be the one you have chosen." And before he finishes the prayer, Rebekah arrives, carrying her water jar on her shoulder. So the servant approaches and asks for water. Rebekah obliges, and in verse 19, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have had enough to drink." So she did. That's a lot of work, by the way. 10 camels drink a lot of water. And water was generally fetched by descending stairs into the well, filling the jar, and carrying it back up. This is going to take a while. Verse 21, "Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful." Well, the camels drink up, and the servant gives Rebekah a gold nose ring and 2 gold bracelets, weighing about 4 ounces of gold. Not bad. And he asks her, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." Not only that, but they also have plenty of straw for the camels and room to sleep. Verse 26, "Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord." Praise the Lord. He is good. He is faithful. And watch what the servant says. "As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." I love it. What a beautiful picture of how the Lord guides us through life. We don't get signs and wonders for every step, but as we trust and obey and just venture forth, he leads us on the journey and gets us where we need to be. Well, Rebekah runs home to tell her family, and her brother Laban takes special interest. Notice in verse 30, as soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, Laban will become a central character some chapters from now. Take note here, he eyes the gold and runs out to meet the guy who brought it. And for his part, Laban is all grace and hospitality. He welcomes the servant, makes room for the camels, the men with him, even sets food out for all of them. But the servant speaks up in verse 29. I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say. And so he recounts the whole story. Now, as he retells his story, we have an opportunity to see the story from another perspective. All of this, every element, is a grand picture of our own story. Remember two chapters back when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son. That was a clear picture of Jesus, whom the Father sacrificed for our salvation. Well, watch how the story plays out. Isaac pictures Jesus. Notice, we haven't seen Isaac since the mountain of sacrifice. We know he's alive, but he simply doesn't appear in the story. But in the meantime, the father sends a servant to find the son a bride. The servant pictures the Holy Spirit. And catch the picture. Father God sends the Holy Spirit to find a bride for the son, Jesus. Now, this is the greatest finding a bride story of all time. The servant heads out with 10 camels. 10 is the number of law, as in 10 commandments, and the camels play a central role in finding the bride. Galatians tells us that the law is like a guardian or teacher that brings us to Christ. The law, do not steal, do not covet, do not have any other gods. All of it shows us that we are sinners, that we need grace. We can work and work to try to water all 10 camels and keep all 10 commandments, but it's hard work. Yet the Holy Spirit teaches us grace. He gives us gifts that we don't earn or deserve. So the gold pictures the gifts of the Spirit. And notice, the servant never speaks of himself, goes unnamed, just as the Holy Spirit doesn't call attention to himself, but is always working to bring glory to Jesus. And core to the Spirit's role is finding a bride for Christ, inviting us into a covenant with a groom we haven't even seen, but we will. Well, back in our story, the servant finishes his story, and he puts the question to the father and brother. Will they consent to the marriage? Verse 50. Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other." They recognize this is a God thing. And the servant praises God and brings out more gifts, gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing, and he gives some to Rebecca and more still to her family. For them, this was an assurance that this guy is legit, and it's just grace. God provided much for Abraham, and the servant passed on the blessing. For us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, those special abilities and opportunities that he gives to us, to Jesus' bride, some natural, like helps, teaching, and encouragement. Others supernatural, like prophecy and healing. Those gifts are an assurance that God's promise is legit. Like an engagement ring, they remind us that God will come through. We have a wedding ahead. We will see Jesus. Speaking of which, the chapter ends as Rebecca says her goodbyes, receives a beautiful blessing, and hops up on a camel for the long road to meet her groom. Isaac is out in the field, looks up, and sees the camels approaching in the distance. Rebecca also looks up and sees Isaac. She gets down from her camel and covers herself with a veil. In the symbolic picture, notice that she leaves the camel. The law may bring us to Jesus, but our new covenant is not based on works of the law. But more importantly for our story, Isaac marries Rebekah, and in verse 67, so she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isn't that beautiful? He loved her. Great story. Read Genesis 24, and I'll meet you back here in 25.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.